if I was off campus, it's like you wanted that same vibe. It wasn't going to be the same at home if you weren't around other people studying for finals. And then the East Bank or the West Bank Library, Wilson Library, was a little more mod, you know, kind of 60s. The Walter was just stately, huge building and just gorgeous. And but anyway, yeah, there's something about libraries. And then there's always been for me something about a smell of a library. I mean, they each smell a little different. But when I, because I in college worked in a library, and after college for about 10 years, and then about it probably 10 years later, I happened to be, you know, down by the Capitol. So I thought, I'm going to go up and see. And that was the first thing that happened when I stepped foot in there. I was like, it smells the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't realize like that you have that stored in your head until you smell it again.
St. Cloud's Library, I spent a lot of time in that library in college, the university library. And my main takeaway was that it was always just a little bit too warm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, where you need it almost just a little bit too cold.
Sure do.
If you're going to be studying. And I just remember being so sleepy and just cursing whoever was in charge of the thermostat. Like, can we just go 2 degrees cooler to
you're right.
keep us awake?
You are right. And then, you know, just the whole fun of it, checking things out. But yeah, I definitely remember in Brainerd, there was a whole tradition for me and my mom to go to the library. My mom would be upstairs and I'd walk the stairs downstairs and I'd get however much time I wanted in the children's library.
Memory unlock tidy. Do you remember?
Well, again, I love that phrase.
Okay. Do you remember when you were at the library in those eras, there was something that they would rub the books on as that you would check them out? What was that? And they don't do that anymore.
Because
they scan the barcode now, but.
Yeah, because they weren't scanning barcodes then.
No, they were writing the note card, the library cards. But what were they doing?
Because it wasn't like there was.
Magnetic anything.
Right. There wasn't like a. They couldn't tell if you walked out with the book.
But every book you'd scan, it would, you know?
Huh. Interesting.
If you know, text us. Let us know. Tammy, are you listening? Tracy?
If you know, you know.
Text us, 218-326-1234.
And make sure you follow the coverage that the KXC Newsroom is doing about cuts to area libraries and what that means. You can send us stories of that as well. 218-326-1234.
Alexander Mitchell was named after Mitchell, South Dakota, is named after the same Alexander Mitchell.
There we go.
Apparently.
All right. Coming up, we've got local news for you. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota.
Up next, it's the Up North Report, local news on KAXE.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. Authorities have arrested the man who escaped from custody 2 weeks ago at the Northeast Regional Correction Center in Saginaw. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office reported 40-year-old Michael Todd Hart was found inside a residence in Cohasset on Tuesday morning. Law enforcement executed a search warrant after learning of Hart's whereabouts. Hart had escaped custody on September 23rd, and authorities said they believed he would be headed to the Iron Range, where he has friends and associates. A 29-year-old woman was also placed under arrest for aiding an offender. Hart and the woman were transported to the Itasca County Jail pending arraignment for new charges. Members of the Minnesota State Senate made a quick stop at Brainerd Public Utilities on Wednesday as part of a bonding tour of northeastern Minnesota. Brainerd City officials pitched three projects they are hoping to help fund with state money. The biggest ask is for $28 million, or about half the cost of a new water treatment facility. The facility would mitigate copper corrosion throughout the distribution system, which is currently above the federal drinking water standard. Mayor Dave Bedeau notes that without the funding, residents' water bills could increase from about $40 a month on average to nearly $70. He says the projected costs for the new facility have risen substantially.
We're not concerned about the people that can pay for it. We're concerned about the people that can't pay for it. The single mothers that are on a limited income, or the grandmothers or elderly that have a fixed income.
Senators Karen Housley, Sandy Pappas, and Ann Johnson Stewart are members of the Capital Investment Committee. Pappas asked about whether a sales tax paid for not only by residents but also visitors to the tourist area could help. But a local sales tax is already in place in Brainerd, and it pays down the debt the city took on for its wastewater facility. Pappas offered officials a reality check on the $28 million price tag.
I mean, our bond bills are pretty restricted and there's so many needs in these communities. All this stuff's aging at the same time.
Bedeau also shared information on two smaller projects, the expansion of the Cuyuna Lake State Trail and a pedestrian bridge over a busy part of Highway 210. The senators and staff then loaded the bus for their next stops in Floodwood, then Grand Rapids, Keewatin, Hibbing, and Ely. The tour continues Thursday along the North Shore. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison was in Bemidji on Tuesday night for a community forum. Larissa Donovan was there and has more.
Ellison began the forum going over some recent actions his office has taken on a federal level. He says ever since President Donald Trump took office, he has been taking the administration to court over issues like the executive order purporting to end birthright citizenship, tariffs, and data privacy. He says his office has helped facilitate the movement of $2 billion in federal funds to Minnesota after funding freezes, and that he is committed to protecting the rights of all Minnesotans, regardless of race or gender identity.
It is simply because I don't like bullies, and I don't like scapegoats, and I believe in liberty and justice for all, and all means all.
30 people gathered in the Chapel of United Methodist for the forum asking about how the office is responding to the National Guard being federalized in American cities, ICE agents conducting mass raids, and more. Beltrami County Historical Society Executive Director Emily Thabe spoke to the federal funding cuts proposed to the Institute of Museum and Library Services.
Institutions depend on MLS for funding of digitization projects, education programming, and in some cases, operations.
The proposed federal cuts compound with local funding woes, as the local museum is also expecting to lose all of its funding from Beltrami County in 2026. Ellison will host another community forum in Brainerd on October 27th. Larissa Donovan, KAXC News.
A webinar series aims to support woodland owners and forestry professionals as they respond to the summer storm damage in the Bemidji area. The series is hosted by the DNR in partnership with the Minnesota Forestry Association. The first webinar is 4 to 5:30 p.m. Monday. Presenters include DNR Forest Health Specialist Megan O'Neill, who will discuss common pests and diseases, and Potlatch Forester Brian Bignall, who will give a forest industry perspective on the blowdown. Visit KAXC.org for more information. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXC News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
7:08, coming up, we'll have more news from National Public Radio. We are getting the latest update from Morning Edition about what's happening in Chicago with the National Guard. Stay tuned for that story. We'll also be talking books throughout the morning, which means we want to hear from you. What are you reading?
We did hear from one of our favorite librarians, Tammy,
yeah,
who came through. We were just talking about libraries and how back in the day we would put the librarian would put the book on some sort of thing where they were like rubbing it on there when you would check it out. She said it is a desensitizer. It turns off the magnet inside the book that sets off the gate alarm.
There was a, now that she says that, I think there was a gate I went through even
yeah,
when I, pro-
yeah.
back in the day,
yep.
you know?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that is right. So there is a
magnet. I was
magnet.
Thinking
Where's
there wasn't
the
any sort of,
Well, and so do only library books have the magnet in there, and are they put in there as the books are created, or is it just like on the back of the?
Because they still do this, right? They, I mean, not the same sort of motion.
I don't know. I don't feel like the librarians do that anymore. Is that not accurate?
Well, they do something to it when I check
yeah,
out my
I know.
Books.
I just I don't pay attention as well. I guess I
no,
don't know.
I'm usually chatting about the book.
I know.
And we heard from Steve. He says at the university library I was at, that was part of the system. It would beep at the door if you left with anything that wasn't checked out. Not sure of the technical details, but rubbing the book up against panel either negated a magnetic effect somewhere, a register code. And then he said, of course, Tammy beat me to this. But, okay, I guess that makes some sense, you know, because I was thinking like old school, something of like, oh, is there static? You know, book this paper, the pages stuck together? No. No, it's not
just
a balloon
purely.
On my hair. It's not that. So,
just just to make sure the user doesn't have to deal with static on the pages.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that would be very nice, but how often does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened, you know?
Let us know your library stories. You can text us 218-326-1234. We want to thank Dale's Auto Body for their support, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984, performing auto body and collision repair as well as auto glass replacement. Dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com.
Thank you so much to everybody who has been helping us out. KXE started without federal funding in 1976. For 1 year, we did not have federal funding. And here we are, nearly 50 years later, we find ourselves in the same position. This is a powerful reminder that we can keep going because we are people-powered. And today, the need is greater than ever. And every day, folks are letting us know that it's important to them. Donations coming in. For instance, we heard from William in Minneapolis yesterday. Thank you so much, William. And we also heard from Becca from Virginia, who said, I love the phenology and local nature programming so much.
We also heard from Mona from Minneapolis yesterday as well, renewing her pledge.
Is that a relative?
It is.
Okay.
Yes, my dear Mona. But yes, so thank you to everyone keeping us going during this funding chaos and crisis. So thank you for being here for KAXE. We receive support from Harmony Food Co-op in Bemidji, partnering with local farms for over 2 decades to provide fresh and local foods. Promoting sustainability through local buying. Open daily from 8 to 8. More at harmonyfoods.coop. Also on Facebook.
And thanks to the Bonner Eye Clinic. Locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing. With offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Ami Martinez in Culver City, California.
And I'm Leila Faldil in New York City. Hundreds of National Guard troops are staging outside of Chicago under orders from President Trump.
It's in response to recent protests against immigration and customs enforcement operations in Chicago. Trump has said the city is a war zone, and now the president is calling for the arrest of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson.
NPR Sergio Martinez Beltran joins me now from Chicago. Good morning, Sergio.
Good morning, Leila.
I mean, it's pretty unprecedented to hear a U.S. president call for the arrest of a duly elected city mayor and state governor. Mm-hmm. What is he saying about why?
I mean, President Trump says they should be arrested for, quote, failing to protect ICE officers, but it's unclear what actions he's actually referring to. Now, Mayor Johnson says he is protecting the residents of Chicago and that he will fight the Trump administration over this National Guard deployment. I sat down with Mayor Johnson yesterday, and this is what he told me about being threatened with jail time.
This is not the first time Trump has accused or insisted on a black man being arrested, a president that is threatening to jail his political opponents is a clear yet another example of authoritarianism.
And Johnson is also pushing back on Trump's claims that Chicago is a dangerous city or a war zone. This summer, Chicago has had the lowest number of homicides since the 1960s.
And that's something that Trump has not acknowledged. Now, the National Guard have been in Chicago before. Under what circumstances were they deployed before?
Most recently during the protests after the police killing of George Floyd in 2020. And it's always been at the request of state officials. This time is different, though. They don't want it here. And that's why the anger, frustration, and at times despair of residents is so palpable here. Last night, hundreds of people peacefully marched in downtown Chicago, protesting the deployment of the troops. And the folks we've talked to here, Leila, like Eric Harvey, a construction worker, do not want ICE agents around, and they certainly do not want the National Guard patrolling the streets.
That's a publicity stunt, man. That's just some stuff he doing so that people can say, oh, Trump is doing this about immigration. You snatching kids and people that get up and go to work every day. That's who you grabbing. You're not grabbing no criminals.
Harvey lives in a neighborhood that recently saw a big ICE raid at a residential building. He and other residents we talked to in this area say the Chicago Police Department is doing its job and that they don't see how the National Guard or ICE can make the city safer.
And what about immigrants in Chicago? What are they telling you?
For immigrants, this is terrifying. About 1 in 5 residents in Chicago are foreign-born, according to the census. So this has been a city where immigrants have created a community and have contributed to it big time. But now they feel unsafe.
Y ahora con la Guardia Nacional, bueno, va a estar un poco más difícil.
Jackson is a Venezuelan migrant who says he feels even more scared with the National Guard around. He's worried about being detained by immigration enforcement. That's why we're only using his first name. Now, Jackson has three kids and a wife, and he says they're even afraid of leaving the house to buy food. And he has not been able to work lately because of the presence of federal enforcement agencies in the city. Now, Leila, there is still a possibility that the troops are legally blocked from being deployed into Chicago. A federal court later today will hear and perhaps decide whether Trump can do this or not. Meanwhile, in a different courtroom, but at the same time, a panel of judges will hear whether the National Guard will be allowed into Portland.
That's NPR's Sergio Martinez Beltran. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For more on the expected deployment of National Guard troops to Chicago, we've called up Democratic Congressman Mike Quigley. He represents Illinois' 5th District, which includes parts of Chicago. Congressman, 500 National Guard troops could be on the streets of Chicago today. How's the city preparing?
Yeah, that's what we're anticipating. And what we've done in the last week is crisscross the city and talk to people at food shelters, at food pantries and shelters, the domestic violence courthouse, small businesses. And we've learned that attendance at these shelters, at the pantries, is really down because people are afraid to go get food. They're afraid to get shelter. They're canceling doctor's appointments because they're afraid to get scooped. Women are afraid to go to a domestic violence courthouse to get orders of protection because they're afraid someone will be there to grab them. And then finally, we're hearing from businesses that, especially in Pilsen and Little Village, that they're really hurting. They've lost workers, and a lot of people are afraid to go into the establishments for, again, afraid of being grabbed by ICE.
I know the state of Illinois is suing the administration, seeking to block this deployment of troops in Chicago. What more could leaders do to limit the presence of ICE in their city? I mean, is this the only way going through the courts?
At this point in time, the most effective way, we have our vote and we have our voice. We're locked out of D.C. virtually. We're not in session. So what we can do is tell people what's happening. My office has created an immigration protection kit, making sure people have completed privacy release forms so that our staff can assist them. We also, can find information about finding friends or family who might have been detained. So there's a number of things our office is doing to try to help people ahead of time, but also to make the public aware of what's taking place, what it means to them, and why they should oppose this.
Yeah, the rhetoric has been pretty intense. President Trump posted that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, quote, should be in jail. The governor is encouraging Chicago residents to protest immigration enforcement. Do you endorse that protesting in Chicago?
I always endorse peaceful protesting. Now's the time to step up and let people know just how serious this has gotten. This is a president who has weaponized the tools of democracy. I think people fail to recognize the fact that Putin and Viktor Orban have shown us leaders can be elected democratically and then use the tools of democracy to try to bring that democracy down. In this case, the president's weaponizing the Justice Department to go after his perceived enemies, the FCC, and of course now the Department of Defense. Who imagined that an American president would tell a gathering of generals that American cities should be used as training grounds for the U.S. military to fight the enemy from within? I'm not sure who they are exactly referring to as the enemy from within, but we can pretty much guess it's people with brown skin.
The president has also said that he might invoke the Insurrection Act as a way to circumvent court rulings blocking him from deploying the Guard to U.S. cities such as Chicago. Just 20 seconds, Congressman. How seriously do you take that suggestion?
I think when a tyrant tells you they're going to do something, you should take it seriously. I don't think this president has any qualms about doing. I think he feels untethered from the facts and the law.
That is Democratic Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois. Congressman, thank you.
Thank you.
This is NPR News.
It is 7:20. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the Thursday Morning Show, People Powered KEXE, getting updates on national news. We bring you local news. We bring you book news, and as well as really important things like people's birthdays and anniversaries and the touch of nature. You get it all when you tune in here. And we are always looking for your support, whether that means sharing stories from our website. We'll be talking news coming up before 8 o'clock, or it means donating. You can text the word donate right now to 218-326-1234. We can't do this alone. We need you, and we are very appreciative. Thank you so much for coming along with us.
We also receive support from area businesses like Boreal Brushworks Painting in Bemidji. Since 2009, Boreal Brushworks has provided full-service interior and exterior painting services throughout northern Minnesota. More information about estimates and services available at borealbrushworkspainting.com. And we want to thank Klotko Brewing in Grand Rapids, making traditional old-world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 7 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Thursday, 3 to 8, Friday and Saturday, noon to 8, and Sunday, noon to 6. More info at klotkobrewing.com. The Heartland Symphony Orchestra is performing this Sunday at 2:30 at the Geechee for the Arts in Brainerd. Free will donations are accepted at the door. Find more at heartlandsymphony.com. Is that who Andrew had a conversation with yesterday?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation about composing with the composer and him talking about playing his own compositions.
Right.
Yeah, it was a good Area Voices.
You can catch Area Voices arts features and focus at our website as well at kexe.org, along with great stories like The Bright Spot. Jennifer had a story from earlier this week.
Oh, the biker, the bicyclist.
Yeah. A guy from Grand Rapids, Connor Steffen, who rode over 2,700 miles for men's mental health. You can catch that conversation at kaxe.org.
Support for this program comes from Sanford Health, with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
What do you think? We can take a listen now to our album of the week?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
So the album of the week is Cut and Rewind by Say She She. They are a trio from New York City and very much drawing from the soul, disco, and funk of the 70s in this album. We've had some feedback that, you know, disco is a very divisive genre, and they very much tap into that. What I find really interesting about this album is it's presented in this, you know, very upbeat and danceable energy, while some of the songs are actually quite pointed on society today, on misogyny, or on racism. There's some real meat to the songs, to the lyrics, that if you're not really listening, it's missed a bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of really appreciate flipping that on its head a little bit. What song have you queued up?
She Who Dares.
Ooh, this is one. Yep. She Who Dares is one that very much is touching on the state of the world, particularly for women. This is off of our album of the week, Cut and Rewind by Say She She.
728. That's our album of the week.
That was She Who Dares. The album of the week is Cut and Rewind. So, yeah, if you read the lyrics to this one, too, it's pretty on point. I kind of love it. It says, give me credit where credit's due. Scratch my back and I'll do the same for you. Yeah, it's an interesting album, and I understand, again, not every album is for everybody. Let us know what you think, though. You can text us 218-326-1234. Steve from St. Paul said, oh, I like this. They're coming to the Fine Line February 27th. That would be a really fun show. Thanks, Steve. You can always text us and let us know what you think of what you're hearing on KAXE at 218-326-1234. Coming up at 9, it's Headwaters with DJ Dang.
Still a chilly morning. We are seeing Hibbing at 32, Grand Rapids reporting 41, 46 in Brainerd, 48 in Bemidji and Park Rapids, Floodwood at 38, and Virginia sunny and 37 degrees this morning. We're looking at temperatures getting anywhere from 63 to 67. Wind again today, though, up to 25 miles an hour out of the south. And cloudy overnight, lows in the mid to upper 40s. Gusty winds up to 20. Yesterday, as I drove Highway 2 to Bemidji, early morning with the full moon, once the fog burned off a bit, it's like I felt like I don't even need headlights on. I mean, It was like just a spotlight on the road. It was so great.
Hey, I heard that Highway 2 in Cohasset got redone. Is that true? Did that it? Was notoriously a very bad stretch of the highway.
Between Cohasset and Deer River?
No, in Cohasset, like from 63 to the west side of Cohasset. I heard buzz from one of our volunteers that got resurfaced. And that will be
63, not 2.
No, Highway 2.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I don't know. I haven't driven that yet, but
I probably just didn't know it. It was early in the morning.
So yeah. Your brain wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah, there wasn't really a heavy, dense fog warning for yesterday, but when I pulled out of my driveway, like, I couldn't see anything in front of me whatsoever. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'm like, oh my, what am I gonna do? Then I'm just like, I guess just go slower because you can't just totally barrel through this. And then it burned off a little bit. Then I get on Highway 2 again, can't see a thing.
like through the bog area was the fog.
Not even
or had
so
it
much.
Burned
it
off
was,
by that
it was
point.
Before that. It was more in Grand Rapids, Cohasset area that was pretty tough. So, but anyway, that's fine. You know, moved through, just took it slowly, right?
That's right. Support on KAXE comes from Schroeder Log Home Supplies, supplying wood home and cabin owners with specialty sealants, preservatives, and wood finishes. More information at their Grand Rapids store or online at loghelp.com. It's time for best wishes.
It is.
It is the time each morning where we wish our friends and neighbors happy birthday and happy anniversary for today, October 9th. We've got one anniversary on the books from Mark and Becky Statham, celebrating 43 years of wedded bliss.
And Carol, Dan the Eggman's wife, is 73 from Deer River.
Dan the Eggman. That's right. If you have a birthday or anniversary to share, text us 218-326-1234.
Let me in, oh, won't you let me in? Let me in, oh, won't you let me in? I've been down here, I've been trying, I can't seem to win. Won't you open up those gates of heaven? Gates of heaven. Heaven for me. Is it true that